Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we'll start with verses 6 through 8. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8. The Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for this evening. Thank you, Father, for the day that you have blessed so far. We know that you'll bless again this evening. Because, Father, we are sitting, Father, wanting to hear from heaven. We have, Lord, your word opened. Father, we ask that you would bless your word, and, Father, that you would speak to our hearts tonight, guiding us according to your will. Father, as always, Lord, we want your will to be done. We want to be drawn closer to you. Father, we want to not only hear what you have for us, but Lord, we want to do what you show us to do, Father, so that our lives will be blessed, we'll be drawn closer to you, Christ will be lifted up, and you'll be glorified. Father, we ask that you would please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to us tonight about the importance of a good root system, the importance of a good root system in our Christian lives. Again, in verse number 7, it says, "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Rootedness in Christ is a choice. We became planted in Christ at salvation, and we must choose to let our spiritual roots sink deeply into the soil of Christ as we seek our strength, nourishment, and growth from him. We've been planted in Christ, and we want to continue to grow and to flourish in Jesus Christ, allowing the fruit of the Spirit to bear out in our life so that we will be established, so that we'll be strengthened in our walk with the Lord. Somebody once said that spiritual rootedness does have enemies in the culture and the people of this world. And God warns us to beware of both things and people who would try to draw us away from Christ. As Paul talks to the church there at Colossae, he warns them in verse number 8 of false teachers and false doctrines. He reminds them and encourages them in verse 6 and 7 that they are planted in Christ, but they need to be rooted. They need to grow in Christ. They need to allow Christ to live through them. As Paul even said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And tonight, talking about being rooted in Christ, not just having a form of godliness, but allowing the power of Christ to help us to grow, to be established, because we are living in a world that has drifted away from, even a country that has drifted away from the principles of God's word, the truth of God's word, and no longer does this world and this country promote Jesus Christ, but you and I and all of God's people can still be rooted in Christ, can still be, as Matthew 5:16 calls us, to be light in this world, letting our light shine, the light of Christ through us. What God is doing in our life, allowing that to shine through so that others will be drawn unto Jesus Christ. I want you to go to Psalm chapter 1, because as we talk about just the importance of having a good spiritual root system, we look at Psalm chapter 1 because, again, God warns us about the enemies in this world, whether they be people, whether they be systems that want to draw us away from the Lord and cause us not to have a very strong root system. God reminds us in Psalm chapter 1 in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, God warns us to beware of both the things and people in this world that could cause us to drift away from the Lord, could cause us not to be strongly rooted and established in Christ. And that is why you go back and look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 7. And again, the Lord encourages here when he says to be rooted and built up in him, him being Jesus Christ, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, as Paul writes to the church of Colossae, he reminds them, you've already learned these things. These are things I'm reminding you of to be established in the truth of God's word that's been given to you, to allow the Holy Spirit to develop his fruit in your life so that you will be strengthened. You'll be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, which is a picture of the word of God nourishing us, helping us to be strengthened, helping us to bear out fruit in our life so that we will not wither, so our faith will not wane, but our faith will continue to be strengthened in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're living in the days that the Bible talks about where there is that great falling away, where people do walk away from the Lord. And I believe those that do walk away from the Lord are those that were not established in Christ. They weren't planted in Christ. They enjoyed for a season the goodness of the Lord, but when persecution and hardship has come, they turn away from the Lord. The Bible even talks about those that, I believe it was Paul or Peter that said, you know, they went out from among us, but they were not of us, because if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. Again, talking about remaining rooted in Christ and allowing ourselves to be deeply rooted in Christ. And tonight I want to look at five reasons why we need to be rooted in Christ and why we need to keep verse 7 in our life, keep verse 7 a reality in our life. That it's that, you know, a lot of people have life verses. And I think this should be a life verse of every child of God. You know what? I want to remain rooted in Christ. I want to remain growing in the Lord and being established in my faith and Christ being magnified. I want you to look with me, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, because to start with, I want to just look at five reasons why we need to personally be rooted in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and you look at verse 13 and 14. If I can get my fingers to do the walking through these pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." The first thing I want us to be reminded of, the reason why we need to personally be rooted in Christ, is the fact that there are false teachers and false doctrines in this world that can lead us astray. Again, I believe God has given us his word. He's given us his spirit to guide us, to teach us the right way, to be able to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ and not be led astray. Again, I'll continue to say it. Our adversary is that thief that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to draw people away from Christ. He wants to destroy lives. But God wants us to be planted in Christ, to be strengthened, our roots to grow deep into Christ, so that, you know what, when the storms of life come, we're not moved about. We're not easily enticed to follow things that sound good, but we're planted in Christ, we're growing in the Lord, We're yielded to the Holy Spirit. We're sensitive to His leading. And when something sounds good, yet it's not of God, the Holy Spirit inside of us warns us of the danger, and we're listening and we heed that warning because God has told us that there are false teachers and false teachings in the last days, and they will abound in the last days to draw people away from the Lord. The second thing I want us to think about is that we do need to be rooted because of our cultural drift away from God. One of the fastest growing belief systems in America is no belief in God. No belief in God. There are even those that have grown up in Bible-believing churches that no longer believe the truth of God's word, no longer believe that there is a God, because they never allow themselves to be rooted in Christ. Again, we understand that at the moment of salvation, we're placed in Christ. We're planted in Christ. Christ takes up residence in our life. But from that moment on, it's part of our life to grow in the Lord, to be planted, to be established in our faith, so that we're able to endure the storms of life. We're able to, you know, if I could even say, battle against things that are not right. Not easily be deceived. Again, as Paul writes to the believers at Colossae, he's encouraging them, he's warning them. Some of these believers were those that had delved into the occult, into witchery, those that were atheists at one time, but then they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They were living in society, surrounded by a culture that was God-hating, that did not promote Jesus Christ. And even though we're saved, we still dwell in flesh that still wants to do sinful things, still is tempted not to trust the Lord, still tempted not to follow the Lord and give the Lord His rightful place in our life as He has bought us with that precious blood. But a wise Christian will seek to be rooted in his or her relationship with Christ to keep them from drifting away from the Lord. When the Bible warns us of things and we take heed to it because we have a desire not to drift away from the Lord, that does strengthen our faith. It strengthens our spiritual root system in Jesus Christ, because we know that this is the best place that we can be, is in Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, look down if you would at verse 17. Galatians 5, verse 17, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." You think about, again, as the Bible tells us, there is a spiritual war going on. There is a battle, even on the inside of us, where the Holy Spirit, who took up residence in our life, wants us to do the things that God desires for us to do, but our flesh resists it at times. The more that we give a place to our flesh, where we kind of are relaxed on our Bible reading, we're relaxed on prayer, we're relaxed on the things of God, and we give more place to what our flesh wants, it becomes harder and harder to do what God wants. The more we give place to the Spirit of God in us, the more we give place to the things of God, if I can say this way, the weaker the flesh gets. The weaker the flesh gets as we give more place to the Spirit of God in our life. And we need to be rooted because of the pull of our own flesh in our life. Again, we're not perfect. God's not expecting us to be perfect, but what God desires for each of us is that we would have a desire to be planted firmly in Christ, that we would have a desire that we want to grow in the Lord and be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. And whatsoever it doeth, it shall prosper because it's being nourished by the Word of God. It's being nourished by the Holy Spirit. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And what I say tonight, the devil does not want anybody to hear. The devil does not want anybody to adhere to it. The devil's perfectly fine if we hear it and we just don't do it. But we're admonished in the book of James to not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers only. And again, we can't of ourselves accomplish these things in our life, but giving place to the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work in our life, helping us to be established in Christ. I mean, you're already planted in Christ at salvation, but to be strengthened in Christ, to have those roots that go deep down spiritually, so that we will continue to grow and to flourish according to God's will. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 1 through 3, the Bible says this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." You know, there's a lot of non-affection in our world. There's a lot of love missing. There's a lot of hatred. No, hatred is actually promoted in our society so much where there was no hate, yet it's promoted and hate breeds. God says, you know, we live in a day where there's no natural affection. There are parents that have no natural affection for their children because they don't take care of them. I won't repeat it, but I've heard some just heinous things that parents have done with their children for their own benefit. There's just no natural affection because Christ is not in their life. It says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I mean, the fourth reason why we need to be rooted is because of the uprooting of the family in this country and in this world. Again, you know, without, you know, offending anybody, sometimes you grow up in a home that's not stable. You grow up in a home where, you know, both parents aren't there, or some homes both parents are bodily there, but they're not there. They're not there to encourage the kids, to train the kids, to love the kids, to show them the right way. And the reason why we need to be rooted is because people are. I mean, again, Sunday school workers, junior church workers, just those that are in the church, kids need to see stability. Kids need to see families that are united, that are together. And, you know, Christ is the one that helps us to be rooted in this way. Again, I mean, we live in a country where they've changed the definition of family. They've changed the definition of family. They've changed the definition of a mother and a father, and just the Bible completely tells us homosexuality is wicked and wrong. There's no such thing as having two fathers. One father, one mother. That's what makes up a home. Now, again, I know in some homes the father's absent and the mother's having to take on both roles herself to try to raise those children. And sometimes it's the other way around. The father is the only one that's present. I understand that. I'm not condemning those parents that have to do it by themselves. What I'm saying is we're living in a day and age where we need to be rooted in the truths of God's word and how God created us to be. God created us to be a certain way, not the way of the world, but the way that he has established us to be and the way that he wants us to be. He wants us to be rooted in our proper roles as a mother, as a father, as a grandparent, grandfather, grandmother. I mean, so we can influence those that are around us. So we can influence our children, influence our grandchildren, children that we're teaching, even grown children. There never comes a day when a parent doesn't have the ability to influence their children. Now, there comes a day where, again, for me being a father, I no longer have that authority over my children. They get to that age, and I think about my sons. One's married, one's about to be married, and they're going to be the head of their own home. And it would not be right for me to walk into their home and be like, okay, I'm going to tell you how things are going to be, but to still be that influence, to try to still be that help when they need it. But if I'm not stable, then there's no way that I can help them. There's no way that I can be an influence. There's no way that I can point them in the ways of the Lord. The Lord wants us to be rooted so that we can not only be an example to others, but we will have that own benefit in our life as well. The fifth place I want you to look for the moment, look at Proverbs chapter 22. The fifth reason why we need to be rooted and remain rooted get to the right book here. Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse number 28. Proverbs 22 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. The fifth reason why you and I need to be rooted in Christ is because the ancient landmarks in this country have been removed and are being removed. You think about, again, there was a day where, you know, you had the Ten Commandments in every courtroom. So someone there, they're there for a crime they committed, whether it was murder. I mean, God's word is just there in plain sight. But they've removed that. They've just about removed prayer. Again, I don't know what it was like here. I know in the South, prayer was a big part in the public school. I remember being in elementary school. I remember starting the day off, Pledge of Allegiance, pledge to the Christian flag, pledge to the Bible. The principal would come on and say a prayer for the day. Well, what I'm saying is that the world doesn't want the things of God. The biblical principles that our country was founded upon are being eroded away. And people are left that are growing up. You think the next generation growing up, there's no landmark to show them the way. Because when you go back to the Old Testament, you go back when Joshua led the people across through the Jordan River, God parted the Jordan River. The priest went down into the Jordan River with the Ark of the Covenant. God said, you know, as soon as the feet of the priest touch the waters will part. The people will go across on dry land into the promised land. And once everyone got across, Joshua commanded that one man from each tribe, 12 men, take a stone and set it up in the midst of that river. And then they made another one later. And it was supposed to be that when children would ask the meaning of it, what's the meaning of these stones? That it would be a testimony for what God had done. Again, for us to be rooted in Christ, we are a landmark. We're a spiritual landmark for those that are coming behind us. That they'll know that there is a right way. They'll know that, you know what, there is a true living God because there are people that testify of Him through their life. It's sad to read in Joshua that at the end, there was another generation that knew not God. though Joshua stood up and he gave the people a choice and said, you know, choose you this day who you're going to serve. He said, but as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And yet there was another generation that came around that didn't even know the works of the Lord. So another way that I think that we can continue to be rooted in Christ and established in Christ and to continue growing in Christ is to talk about the goodness of God among our children, among our relatives, among those that in the workplace. Even though, go back to Psalm chapter 1, even though this world as a whole is drifting away from God, even though society has drifted away from the Lord, we don't have to allow ourselves to be caught up in the current and to be drifted away from the Lord. But we must strive for those deep roots in our relationship with Christ and in our knowledge of Him and His Word. We have to strive for those deep roots in Christ. In Psalm chapter 1, you look at verses 2 and 3 again. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night, and He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. God compares the child of God meditating on God's word day and night as a strong tree that's been planted by the waters, the rivers of waters, just a continual flow of nourishment that strengthens that tree, that helps to bring forth the fruit of that tree, that lets you know by the fruit of the tree what type of tree it is. Somebody once said the ultimate product of a plant's roots stretching deep into the soil, seeking out nutrients for strength and growth, is the eventual fruit that appears. Think about that. You know what a pine tree is by the pine cones. You know what an apple tree is by the apples. An orange tree by the orange. By the oranges that are produced. Again, God's desire is for each and every one of us to not only be planted in Christ, but to be rooted in Christ so that we'll bring forth the fruit that is manifested through our relationship with Him. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Again, these are verses you're familiar with. But just as I continue to think about where our country is at, where our society is at, what has even happened in just the past year, just in Oxford, and how there are so many young people that have no direction in their life, and there are older people that have no direction in their life. And yet the Lord gives us direction. In Galatians chapter 5, you look at verse 22 and 23, the Bible reminds us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the product of the roots that are planted in Jesus Christ. As we're like that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, these fruits that the Bible lists that are the product of a Spirit-filled life, a life that is yielded to the Holy Spirit, yielded to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to cultivate His fruit in our hearts and in our lives and wants it to be manifested. So not only that people know that you are a child of the King, that you are a follower of Christ, just as they perceived that Peter and John were followers of Christ, even though they passed judgment on them based on what they saw, yet they said, these are men that have been with Christ. There's something different. We don't agree with them. But there's something different about them. There's something that manifests Christ in their life. And you think about, you know, what is the reason? I mean, what's the real reason to even have this the fruit of the Spirit bearing out in my life? I mean, I understand the love and the joy and the peace. People want that, but the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, the temperance, that self-control. What's the whole point of having the fruit of the Spirit in my life, bearing out my life? And when we think about it, it is to bear witness to the truth that we are truly planted in Christ and we're growing in His likeness. It is to truly show that, you know what? We truly are firmly planted in Christ and we are growing in His likeness. God is doing a work in our life. There is a desire in our heart that we not be moved about with the winds of time. People change. I mean, fads come and go. Things change. Some things come back around. But one thing that's always consistent and never changing is Jesus Christ and the ways of the Lord. Look back, if you would, at Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3. As we just think about the reasons tonight, and next week I think we'll get more in depth about being rooted in Christ. But just, you know, again, think about just the reasons why we need to even have a desire. And one, it benefits us personally, but it also helps to show the way to others that are around us. It really does help others to even have a reason to even want to know Jesus Christ. Because we understand that in society is not going to help the young people or the older people have a sense of worth. But there's something about being planted in Christ, having Him do His work in you, and the fruit of the work bearing out in your life that testifies, you know what? There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. There's something mighty good about our Savior. In Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3, again, we're told, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." A tree that is strong. I love oak trees. They're huge. They're massive. They're strong. But you know what can happen to any tree? Every tree is vulnerable to some disease. Every tree is vulnerable to losing its strength and becoming rotted on the inside. It may look healthy on the outside. We had this tree in Wisconsin, the church I was pastoring. They had this one huge, pretty sure it was an oak tree. I forget, Sandra, but if it was an oak tree or a maple tree, it had no leaves. It never bore any leaves when I was there. But the tree itself, you looked at it, it was massive. But one day there was a storm, and one of the limbs came down. I said, you know what? It's hollow. So I had someone come and cut it down, and after they cut it down, we saw it, and it was like the whole thing was hollow. It's a huge tree. I forget how big around it was. It was massive, but it was hollow on the inside. And obviously, he said, you made the right decision by having this thing cut down, because the next storm that came through, it might have come down on the building. I'm saying on the outside, it might look okay. Okay, it's not bearing any leaves, but it looks pretty strong. But on the inside, there's weakness. On the inside, there's hollowness. There's no strength. And God wants us to be planted like a tree by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. In His season, because again, it's the Lord doing the work on the inside. It's us being yielded to the Holy Spirit. It's us being doers of the word and not hearers only. It's us desiring that God would do a great work in us, helping our light to shine forth, as Jesus says in Matthew 5, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither. God doesn't want us to wither. He doesn't want us to become spiritually weak. He doesn't want our faith to waver. He doesn't want us to faint in the day of adversity. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God actually wants prosperity in our life. If we go back to the book of Joshua, and God told Joshua the only way he was going to have success and prosperity was by allowing the word of God to fill him, to direct him, to shape him, to mold him. He said, don't let the words depart out of thy mouth. But he said, he encouraged him. He said, be of good courage. Be not afraid. When you think about these things tonight, you think about being rooted in Christ and just, why should I? Why should I have that desire to be rooted in Christ? I'm planted in Christ. I have salvation. But again, God wants so much more for us. And again, where we are, we're living in a time where we understand that not only do people need the Lord, but I need the Lord. I need the Lord more now than ever before. I desire to be that tree that is healthy, that tree that is strong, because it's getting the nourishment it needs. I want to be that tree that bears out the fruit, that testifies of Jesus Christ. And that fruit that shows the Holy Spirit is working. And that I can be that landmark. I can be that example of a believer that helps somebody else desire what the Lord is doing. Yeah, we benefit from being planted and rooted in Christ, but so do others. Again, as the Bible warns us that there are false teachers and false teachings in this world, we want to be planted and rooted in Christ to where we're not moved about. I was talking to someone today, and they had some questions. They had some Bible questions, and then they were telling me about somebody that they had listened to or watched on TV, and how this person on TV had taken some verses out of the Bible and was totally misusing it. And they could see that it was being misused. And I said, yeah, that's, you know, the enemy wants to do that. The enemy wants us to just take things at face value, what we see. Well, it seems good. But God wants us to pay close detail, close attention to what's being said. God wants us to be planted and rooted. He doesn't want us to be tossed about in the winds and the waves. Again, when you think about just the world that we live in, for our life to prosper, it's not enough just to be saved. It's good to be saved, but we need to grow in the Lord. We need to allow the Lord to do his work in our life. We need to learn how to trust God more, how to rely on God more, and to come to the realization I can't live my life without the Lord. What would help someone that has evil intentions in their heart to know the Lord? What would help a child of God who struggles with fear and doubt to know the Lord? Because just because a person is saved doesn't mean they truly know the Lord. They know the Lord as their Savior, but there's so much more to that relationship. Again, I believe the Lord desires for us to be rooted more in Christ. He desires for us to live a life that is completely surrendered to His will, being that living sacrifice that we say, Lord, here am I. Lord, I want You to do Your work in my life. I want to be yielded to You. I want to be used of You. Lord, I know I'm living in a day and age where so many people are not believing in You. And I want to be the one that helps them to see that there truly is a living God that cares deeply about not only me, but about them as well. To be rooted in Christ doesn't just benefit us again. It benefits those around us. It benefits our family. Benefits our children. Benefits those that we want to try to influence for Christ and try to help, whether it's emotionally, physically, spiritually. Our relationship, our rootedness in Christ is what will help us to help others.